Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. I am Ken Levine, your podcast host. And this week, kind of a fun and a little bit weird episode. This is about a radio station that has been on the air for like 45 years, but it hasn't. What do I mean by that? Well, those of us who grew up loving radio and wanting to be disc jockeys, lots of us had these bedroom radio stations where we would set up turntables and things, and we would do radio shows in our room that obviously were not heard anywhere other than our room, but we were, quote-unquote, broadcasting. Well, you're going to meet a gentleman who has essentially had this bedroom radio station for 45 years. Yes, that's true. And it's a story about how much meaning you get in life if you love doing something, even if it's something kind of wacky. Deke Duncan has had Radio 77 going from suburban London, his home, for most of his life. It's a fascinating and, like I said, a little bit of a weird story. You are going to enjoy meeting Deke Duncan this week on Hollywood and Levine. Radio 77. So you have a studio in your house, and you have a speaker in your living room.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much your entire coverage area. Describe your studio. Yeah. You have a full studio, don't you?
I do, yeah. The studio is actually in the backyard, in the garage or the garage, as you say. I built it in the garage because I wanted to feel like it was on a ship, like the old pirate radio stations we had around the English coast.
Right.
They were so cool. And I wanted this to feel like that.
Yeah. And just to explain what those pirate stations were like, back in the 60s, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, when the Beatles were hitting and there was that explosion of great music, and the BBC only would play like 6 hours a week of popular music. And so there were these pirate stations in international waters, these ships, and they would broadcast like Radio Caroline and Radio London. And so that's the only way that kids in Great Britain got a chance to really hear the music around the clock. And I guess for you, that's how you fell in love with it originally, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It was kind of a shock, really, listening to the BBC and then listening to a radio station, a rock and roll radio that definitely had American influence.
Right.
It just blew me away. I thought, this is so cool.
How old were you then?
21.
Okay. And so this was 1965, 66, something like that?
65 when I first heard it. I thought, wow, this is just so cool. I want to be one of those guys. I want to be a DJ. They did hire many North American DJs, Canadians and Americans. They were so cool. I mean, your country's been doing it for so long. You're the masters of it.
It's the only thing we are the masters of.
Oh, no, hey, no. I'm a great fan of the USA. Since I've been 5 years old, America has had certain magic for me. I love the place.
So did you ever apply to the BBC?
I did. When Radio Caroline was taken off the air in 1968.
Okay.
And that left a big hole in my life. And I thought, where am I going to go? How can I? I was going to get a job on Caroline, but I left it too late. The ships had been towed away.
Oh.
So the BBC replaced the pirate stations with what they called Radio One, which was going to be an all-day music station. But it was kind of a lame affair. But I thought, that's the only game in town. I'll apply there.
Sure.
I called them. I spoke to somebody on the switchboard. They put me through to programming and I said, I'd like to be a disc jockey. Could I send you an air check? Maybe listen to it and see what you think. So the woman said, you sound very young. How old are you? And I said, I'm 21. She said, well, this is a very precarious way to earn a living. So I suggest you go and get yourself a proper job.
Nice.
The thing is, I already had a proper job. I was in the construction industry. I drove earth-moving equipment. It was a really cool job. So I had the proper job. I wanted a cool job.
Right.
But that's the way things were in those days.
But you were undeterred because there were still some pirate ships in other waters. And
yeah.
Didn't you apply and get a job with one?
I did. In 1970.
Okay.
Another ship came along, and they thought, we're going to have a go at this. They were financed by a Zurich company. It's called Radio North Sea. They placed an advert in the local musical press. Disc jockeys required. Must be prepared to work at sea. I thought, oh man, I know what this is. So I applied. I sent them an air check. It took several weeks, and they replied to me saying, we like what you do. We'll keep in touch with you, and we'll take you on. Just kind of stay by the phone kind of thing. And then in 1971... somebody put a bomb on the ship and blew the whole thing to hell. It was a complete disaster.
Wow. So, well, you're lucky you weren't on the ship. Did people lose their lives?
No, luckily they didn't. And the ship did survive and the station carried on. But I thought, we'll leave that. But they never got in touch with me again. So I thought, well, maybe.
So the ship was bombed, but the rumor is that it was a competing radio station ship that bombed
it was.
Right?
It was. These were pirates.
Yeah, man. Now that's competition. That is competition. So you decided to start your own radio station just to have something to do. Let's go back to that.
Well, I wanted to be a disc jockey, so I thought, well, I'll make a studio in my bedroom at home, in my parents' house.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I don't have an audience. Disc jockeys on the radio, they don't see their audience, so it's going to be kind of the same thing.
Right.
You don't actually see the audience. You kind of...
A lot of radio disc jockeys, myself included, at one time or another, had bedroom radio stations. Yeah.
Oh, that.
You're not alone.
I'm not the weirdo here.
You're not alone. No, we didn't do it for 44 years, but no, you're not alone.
Yeah, so, and then I developed my talents, skills, if you like, and I just loved it. I obtained some of those 77 WABG jingles and edited them to say just 77. I thought, that's a cool name, and
right.
It will also be... And it'll be a tribute to my favorite radio station, which was WABC. I loved Dan Ingram, Harry
me
Harrison,
too. Yeah.
And Ron Lundy. Oh, they were just, they were fabulous. I loved it.
You did that for a couple of years, and then you got serious. You built like a whole studio in a shed, and you had friends of yours, you had neighbors also doing shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I was working as a club DJ, and I moved to Stevenage, which is down south near London, just outside London.
Okay.
Had this job as a club DJ. I thought kind of second best to being a radio DJ would be a club DJ.
Uh-huh.
But I had this brilliant plan. I would produce my shows as if it was the radio and not a club.
Okay.
The DJs in the club at the time, they would fool around and dance and wave their arms around and just be kind of goofy.
Right.
So I thought, no, I'm going to sit there with headphones and I'm going to play radio jingles. I'm going to present this like a radio show. And it went down a storm.
Talk up to the vocals and the whole thing?
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it went down a storm. It really did. And it's within... I met a couple of guys in the audience. They came up to me and they said, you sound like a radio DJ. Were you on Radio Caroline? And I thought, I've got to say yes.
Sure. Sure. How are they going to know?
But I didn't. I didn't. I thought, no, that wouldn't be right. I said, well, I have a radio station at home. Why don't you come and join me? And they did. And then I had my team of DJs. It was absolutely fabulous. We'd spend the whole weekend broadcasting, rolling shows, 3 hours each, news on the top of the hour. We played the commercials, the weather checks.
Uh-huh.
It was just that little house that I lived in was my ship. That was my pirate boat, and we had the radio station. It was fabulous. Loved it.
And
yeah.
you had like at least a speaker in the house so your wife could hear it. Right.
I wasn't married at that time.
Oh, less of an audience.
Yeah, but we had that imaginary audience, which
right.
that's what it's all about.
Right.
When I do this radio here, I have an imaginary audience.
Well, it's not imaginary for the next few minutes because I want to pause now and play a little bit of. One of your shows, and this was done recently. This was just a few weeks ago. Here's a chance to hear 77 Radio all over the world on this podcast with Deke Duncan.
Rock and roll.
Holy moly, right. Thank you, Kanye.
Wherever you go, go with 77.
Those Geordie lads.
It's very nice. All about the Sultans of Swing.
Get a
right
shiver
here.
In the dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the park, but meantime.
Now, isn't that just so cool? Well, lovely. Mark Knopfler. Dire Straits. The Sultans of Swing. If you've ever been a member of a semi-professional club and pub band, you will know exactly what they're talking about. That song will mean a lot to you. It's going to be ringing bells, as they say. 16 minutes away from 9 o'clock, top of the hour, we've got Lady Pamela with the news. Right here, 77 AM. Good music guaranteed right across your radio dial. With a little smile, of course. Hall & Oates.
What I want.
Right here on 77, making my dreams come true. That's what it's all about, make your dreams come true. Right on. Hall & Oates there. Conjures up visions of our breakfast here at 77. That's Hall & Oates. That, yes, we have porridge. You get the connection over there? Try a little harder now. Must try harder. Fast approaching 13 minutes now to the hour of 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, we got the news with Lady Pamela. Speaking of Lady Pamela, right? I got a word or two to lay on you about that lass, right? Really, and now look, here's a look in a little word for the lovers of good, wholesome food. The Lady Pamela Proper Food Cookbook, it's still available. 7th edition, doing very, very well.
can buy it now from 77 online. Now, this is proper home cooking from a properly good woman. Believe me, she is just wonderful. If you like your food honest, traditional, and super-duper mouth-wateringly tasty, Pamela's Proper Food Cookbook has got your name right across it. Pay attention now. You can buy it now from 77 online. It's only $9.95. That's radio77.co.uk/Pamela's Proper Food.
Radio 77, the station that does nothing more than play good music.
Holy moly, right, yeah. Well, we can do that. Candlewick Green on 77, Friday morning. How in the world you doing, boo-boo? And who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. All righty, you can be whoever you want.
Who am I?
Very impressive. You sound great.
Thank you.
Sound great. So how many hours a day do you do this now?
Maybe just a couple of hours, Yeah.
Do you do it the same time every day?
More or less, yeah, more or less. One of the guys that joined me all those years ago is now, I was reunited with him a couple of years ago, and he comes along every now and again. He's coming this week, actually, and we're going to do a whole day session.
So do you just like on a Saturday, you go, you know what, I got nothing to do. I'm just going to broadcast for 7 hours.
Yeah, yeah, I can do that.
And you're retired now, so.
I am, yeah.
Okay, so you're not moving earth during the day.
No,
you don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to do your show.
Right. No, but I would.
And yeah. you do it, what, a couple hours a day? Do you record them? Do you listen back normally?
Absolutely. Every time I record them, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I listen back and analyze what I'm doing. If I think, maybe that needs to be adjusted slightly or this, that. I see it as a work of art, sonic art, right? It's my whole life, actually. It's just I want to perfect it.
So if you listen back to tapes of you, because I listen back to tapes of me when I was Beaver Cleaver, I think to myself, oh, my God, did I actually do that?
Yeah,
so
well,
do you listen back and go, oh, man, I'm so much better now?
Yeah, I do. I do, yeah. I think you should. I mean, it's a craft. It's not just... The difference between being a disc jockey and somebody who talks on the radio is cavernous. There is an enormous difference. A disc jockey is kind of an artist. I see it as an acting job, really, into character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do when I on the air. I'm in character. I become somebody else.
Right.
Because
right,
I wouldn't
kind of your alter ego. Now, have you ever expanded?
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, taken a tape recorder out and broadcast play-by-play of a cricket game or
no,
something?
No.
It's just DJ.
Just you, yeah, music radio, yeah.
Where do you get your records?
I had a huge record collection that I've transferred to CDs.
Okay.
And obviously we have the internet now. You can download anything you want.
Uh-huh.
So,
You know, how big is your rotation? You know, how long until you hear the same record again?
I could go 2 weeks before I start to repeat.
Okay, because you have like a set playlist of 800 or 500 songs that you kind of rotate back and forth, right?
I guess so. I don't have a playlist where I go on the air, I take a whole bunch of CDs, and I pick them as I go along.
Okay.
I think maybe I play an Eagles song. I think I'll play something that's going to contrast with that now, and I'll pick something out, and it's artwork, sonic artwork.
Right.
Love
right.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
you have
what
any
I'm
favorites?
About.
You have any like two or three songs that get played like every couple of days, you know, I mean, if I was doing it, you'd be hearing Hungry Heart by Springsteen, like, you know, every few days. Great intro. It was a rocking song. It's like, that would be my top of the hour ID, like 4 days a week.
you and I are so alike. My record library, it contains every single song has got a good intro.
Yeah.
If a song doesn't have a DJ intro, I don't want to know.
It
has to have that impact. It comes in like a smash in the face.
And exactly.
talk over the intro right to the vocal line and off we go, and I feel so cool.
Yeah. You talk up records in the car, I do. It's like one of those great, you know, skills that you can't make any money from.
Yeah.
You know, and my wife just like rolls her eyes like, okay, again, again, right up to the post, right up to the post.
Yeah.
So at one point you decided to move to the United States and actually see if you could get a job as a DJ. Talk about that experience.
That was the experience that we were just talking about. Just the two stations that said that, you know, we could put you on the sick list, we could put you on the graveyard shift. But
and this was in San Diego?
San Diego, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't just go with that. I was also going to start a kitchen designing company, which I had gotten involved in back here in the UK at that time.
Okay.
And that would have gone well. But it just didn't work out, and we came home.
So that was your first wife, but that marriage ended, and you moved on to a second wife.
Yeah.
Your first wife, I mean, I don't want to get personal, but she just wanted to hear a different station. I don't know what happened.
She just didn't like the way that she became a radio widow. If I'm going to be completely honest, she just had enough of me and my dreams.
So, but the second wife is like all for it. In fact, your second wife, Pamela, does the news for you every hour.
She does. Yeah. She's so cool.
Well, obviously. Yeah. That sounds great.
But the Radio 77, it fizzled out in the mid to late 80s. It just kind of, one of the guys I was working with was Richard St. John, the other disc jockey. He took a job in Formula One racing. He was an excellent car mechanic. He couldn't turn that. That was an offer he couldn't refuse. So he took that. It kind of left me alone. I thought, and I just stopped doing it until 2014, after I'd married Pamela, I was having these dreams all the time, regularly, about Radio 77 building a studio and talking up to the vocals. I said to Pamela, I'm dreaming again about Radio 77. And she said, she's a wonderful wife, she said, well, we've got eBay now, buy some more broadcast equipment, do your radio studio and start the whole thing again. And we did. And this is it.
Yeah. So you can't see it. I mean, we're doing this via Zoom, so I have a chance to see you. And this is like a fully equipped, this looks like a whole lot better than half the radio stations I actually worked on. He's got cart machines, and he's got slide pots, and he's got faders and all kinds of things over there. Yeah. Big on-the-air sign.
You'll notice these are CD players.
Uh-huh.
But I particularly bought that model because it looks like an NAB cart machine. whole thing is...
You know, radio stations sponsor concerts all the time. And since yours is a fantasy station anyway, has Radio 77 ever put together a Beatles reunion or, you know, a great concert?
No, but maybe we could.
Well, you know what I find interesting about this is that as a writer, I sort of can apply this to my own life and all the other writers out there listening, because when we write a screenplay on spec or a play or a pilot on spec, we're sitting at home and we're creating this whole world and nobody's making it yet. And in most cases, nobody ever will make it, but you lose yourself in that world and those characters, and it becomes very real to you.
Absolutely. I understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah. So at one point, though, you finally did get a chance to be heard. The BBC found out about you. Somebody did a story about you, and the BBC interviewed you, and what, they allowed you to do a show, right?
They did, yeah. The BBC came along in 1974 and did a kind of a little human interest story on that radio station in that shed. And then that was shelved. Incidentally, I spent years and years trying to find that footage, and the BBC said, "I'm sorry, all that footage has been deleted or it's been lost." But then suddenly, 2018, they re-released it on one of these nostalgia shows. This day in 1974.
Wow.
And there it was. And, oh, wow, that's me. And a local radio station from Stevenage in Hertfordshire, where I used to do this, they heard this and thought, well, we're going to have to find this guy and bring him on the show. And that's what they did. One of their presenters, Justin Dealey, he found me and said, come and join me and co-host my Sunday morning show. And they gave me my own show. New Year's Eve, 2018. I had an hour.
And was this just on the local station, or was this in London? Where was this that you got to do your hour?
This was just outside of London in a town called Dunstable.
Okay.
That was a local station, but of course they're worldwide online.
Right. Well, which, you know, brings up another topic, and I'm sure some people are thinking, well, why doesn't he just go online and become an internet station? But the problem with that is you have to pay royalties.
Exactly.
If you're playing music. So it can become a costly adventure, and you may be doing it and paying a lot of money, and instead of only one listener, you have four. You know, but one is in Bhutan, and then the other is in Albuquerque.
Right. Yeah. I did consider that several times, but for what you've just said, I didn't do it for the very same reasons that you're saying there now. Another thing, this station here, I play commercials. I get commercials online, real commercials. Mostly American. I love some American commercials. It's so funny. And I play them, and it makes the whole show sound like a real radio station. If I was to go online, I couldn't do that. I would have all kinds of people saying, stop that. You can't do that.
Right.
And I don't want that. That's why those original guys were
You should really be audacious and contact, if you're doing like Coca-Cola commercials or something, and just send them a bill. Send them a bill for all the spots you've been running.
I'm going to write that down.
Exactly. you could make an awful lot of money. Who are some of your favorite disc jockeys from the past, both in the U.S. and in the U.K.?
In the U.K., my favorite disc jockey of all time was a Canadian guy who was on Caroline. His name was Don Allen.
Okay.
He was so cool. Most of my style now is kind of molded on that guy. I use some of his phrases out of respect. He was just so cool, very cool. American-wise, Ron Lundy of Harry Harrison. I love Charlie Tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant. These guys are so cool. They have razor-sharp voices. Love these guys.
Yeah, not Beaver Cleaver? Not Beaver Cleaver? You don't know.
Well,
you don't know. No, believe me. Well, nobody knew who I was.
I do now. So cool.
I always maintain that the only way I could get respect in radio was to get out of it.
You do have the right voice.
For getting out of it, yes.
No, you have the right voice for a radio DJ, American voice. Perfect.
Well, thank you. This has been a treat. How long are you going to keep doing this? You're what now? I'm guessing mid-70s?
75, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have a big birthday celebration on the air?
No, I didn't actually. No, not this year, no.
Uh-huh.
God, we've got all this health thing going on at the moment, haven't we?
Right. Do you take listener requests and just make up people? Has called in and wants to hear Witchy Woman.
Right.
You don't print surveys or anything that you send out. Well, a lot of L.A. and national radio stations would print their top 20 survey, and they would distribute those in record stores and things like that. So, Well, thank you so much. And Deke, good luck. Keep going. And one quick question. I know I'm bouncing around, but you know, there are low power transmitters.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of that so that, you know, even you broadcast down the block?
I do have a low power FM transmitter right here.
Okay. So broadcast, you know.
It goes maybe 100 yards around the studio.
That's how they
listen in the house. Yeah.
All right.
So I do broadcast technically. Yeah.
Well, you're rocking it. You're rocking it. And if you ever need somebody to fill out your application for the Fantasy Radio Hall of Fame, I'm your man.
Okay.
Deke Duncan,
my man.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Radio 77.
And that will do it. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Lady Pamela for letting me have Deke Duncan for a half an hour here. And if you ever get to his block, be sure to listen to Radio 77. Okay, our thanks as always to Adam and Susie Meister-Butler, Howard Hoffman, John Wolfert, Bruce and Jason Miller. If you want to get in touch with me, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. That is HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. I will write you back. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Ken Levine. Also on Instagram, Hollywood and Levine. And if you want to subscribe, please do. And if you want to give me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be appreciated as well. Stay safe. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hollywood and Levine.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.